Well, that is all about, very simply put, it is the birthday of the church. But did you know that it was Oh, Your Cleric Day? I was kind of getting all my notes together last night, and I got an email from some people who will remain nameless sitting in the front row here. And they said, did you know that this tomorrow was the day in which you could hug your minister? Well, if you want to hug your minister, that's fine. But I'm more interested in Pentecost Sunday this morning, okay? It is what we describe as the birthday of the church. Anybody had a birthday recently? Anyone had a birthday? Charlotte, you've had a birthday recently, have you? Tomorrow. Good stuff. Are you going to have a party?
2 days ago.
Have we got another one? Are you going to have a party? You are. It's a very quiet party here, this one, actually, yeah. Are you going to have you had a birthday? When was your birthday?
Friday.
What?
Friday.
Last Friday?
Yeah.
Did you have a party?
No.
No parties.
He's going to have
a party. I'm glad to hear that. Anybody else had a birthday recently? Nobody's had a birthday recently. I think Pat Darrow had a birthday recently.
Yes.
I think it was a very special birthday. But you know, we don't talk about ladies and age. We don't. That's one thing I learnt. Pat, your birthday?
Last Sunday.
And did you have a party?
I did.
Was it a good party?
It was a lovely party. On Saturday, my son and his wife did everything.
Was it a surprise?
No. I knew it was happening.
And did you have...
We did. We had lots of fun.
Great fun. Well, that's the great thing about birthdays, isn't it? Birthdays are about celebrating. Pentecost Sunday is also about celebrating because it is the birthday of the church. Now, I found a little book this week, which I read when I first came to the church here, called Crofton's Story. It's the story about the birthday of this church. And it makes great reading because in it, there are some really good photographs of people that are sitting in this room this morning, but they look a bit different today than they were when some of the photographs were taken. Now, we're talking about the big church day out. This was 2003, so what's that, about 12 years ago? And there are all kinds of people in there. You might want to look at this afterwards, because you might spot yourself here. But some of you, I can see you sitting here, and I can see you in this photograph. And I think Sarah's right in the very middle. I think I spotted her as well. But everybody looks just that little bit younger, don't they? So that was the big church day out, 2003. I hope you signed up for the next one that's coming. Then I kind of looked a bit further in this book about the birth of our church, and I found some of our YPs. So, here's some of our YPs, which you probably do recognise. They're not YPs now, they're a little bit older now. Ben's playing our piano this morning. Jasmine's got married, she's moved away, she's living elsewhere. Sophie's here, she's here, and... Kate, is that Kate Monday, isn't it, on the left? They've all grown up a little bit since then. And then I looked a bit further in this little book. I found another photograph of someone who's always been very busy around this church for many years. I wonder, do you recognise him? Well, Roy, it's good to see that you've always been busy around this church here, isn't it? That's not you, no? Amazing what you find when you read this book. But the way this church came together is a really interesting story. Around about the late 1930s, there was a huge Sunday school that used to meet where Crofton Junior School is now. And a little bit later on, in 1953, if I've got my dates right, this was the first church building that was built here. It looks a bit different, doesn't it? It was kind of built out there in another part of the site, and it became known as the Church in the Lane, or the Light in the Lane at one stage. Then in 1964... this particular building was built. Looks quite similar, doesn't it, on the outside? But it looks a little bit different on the inside, doesn't it? We don't sit on wooden pews anymore, but some of the bits of the photograph I suspect you can still recognise. And that's, of course, what it looks like today from the outside. A little bit different, isn't it? And even this week, we had something new happening. It's one of the great things about this church, still growing, new things still happening. We had a Chinese club that joined us on Thursday, a new partnership. Over 50 Chinese people here. Yeah, I had a great time on Thursday. I was being fed cake and all sorts of Chinese food all day long. And they're coming every Thursday. So that's going to be fun, isn't it? You can imagine what I'm going to be like by the time we get to the end of that one. But Pentecost Sunday is not just about the birthday of this church. It's about the birthday of God's worldwide church. It is the beginning of the church in Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. And here is how it started, if we watch this video clip.
That day,
when the Spirit arrived, when the Holy Spirit came, what happened then? It got loud. Loud enough to be heard all over town. Fire appeared, divided and dispersed to each of them. The outsiders came running, and they heard the fire talkers tell of God's mighty works in their own language. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretans, and Arabians. The Spirit had come to describe the glory of God in their native tongues through those who followed Christ. These representatives of the world stood astounded but curious, bewildered but ready. Then Peter showed them from the Scripture exactly what it meant, revealing God's promise to all who trust in Jesus. And many believed, and many repented, and many were baptized, and many were saved. The Spirit had come. The church was born.
Wow, that must have been some day, wasn't it? Did you hear all of those different languages and all those different people all together in Jerusalem? I thought we might try speaking some of those languages which were represented that day. I think we could try that. Are we good at languages? Because there are lots of countries represented. Here's one country that was represented, Arabic. Do you think we could say hello in Arabic this morning? Shall we give it a go? Can you do it in Arabic? Excellent, even better. We're going to get the right. Stand up for me, please. All the way back here. Oh, dear. Too much Chinese food this week. How do we say this in Arabic?
Assalamu alaikum.
Say that again.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, can we do that? Assalamu alaikum. Okay, very good. Let's see if we can do the next one. Turkish. Anybody here can say this in Turkish for us? Hello in Turkish? No native Turkish speakers this morning. We're just going to have to give it a go, aren't we? Merhaba, do you think that sounds about right? Okay, let's give it a go. Merhaba, that means hello in Turkish. What about this one here? Italian, can we do that one? Ciao, that's easy, isn't it? I got a text from Chris Monday. It went off on a special birthday weekend and it said ciao. Just trying to make me feel really jealous. They've headed off to Italy for the weekend. What about this one here? Greek? Anybody say this? Have we got any Greek speakers here? Kalimera. And this one here? Hebrew. Shalom. Now, I wondered how many different languages we had here this morning. Can anybody say hello in a different language for me this morning? In a different language, can you? What language can you say? Japanese. Okay, let's go for it. Shall we go for it? Go for it.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. There we go. Japanese. Anybody else say hello in another language? Yes? What language? Swedish. Okay, go for it. Go on. Go for it.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Hey. And I can sort of do an Irish one, which means welcome. It's Cade Mila Fulcher. How about that one? There's an Irish one for you. What language?
Albanian.
Albanian. Wow.
Mirin Daisy.
Say that again?
Mirin Daisy.
That's fantastic. Brilliant. Have we got any other languages? Oh, look at all the hands going up here. Oh, Pat Darrow's got a great language. Jeff's got a great language. Jeff, what language?
Esperanto.
Esperanto. Give us it in Esperanto.
Saluton.
Saluton, okay. Got any other ones? Any other languages? Yes. What language?
Joseon.
What language is that?
Cantonese.
Cantonese. Fantastic. There's Sam. Sam, you'd like to shout it out for me? Shout it out. Say again? Wanna come, okay? Well, we've got two more hands at the back here. What language are we going in? Pardon? Go on then.
Gedul.
Go, oh, Gedul. Wow, what, we're a really international church here, haven't we? Got another one. Another language.
French.
Go ahead. Pardon?
French. Bonjour.
Bonjour. That's a really good one, isn't it? Wow. Look at all those different languages. Who's Polish?
Genobre.
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 Polish. There we go. Gosh, imagine if you could speak those languages without having learnt them before. Oh, you got another one. Another French one. French. Can you do French for me?
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Wow, fantastic. Really good. Really good. Now imagine if you were able to tell people about Jesus in a language which you'd never learnt before. Because that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. So that must have been really quite amazing, talking about Jesus in different languages that the disciples hadn't learnt. And here's what Luke tells us about the story. He says, the Holy Spirit took control of everyone, and they began speaking whatever languages the Spirit let them speak. And here's what people were saying, verse 11. They said, we hear them using our own languages to tell the wonderful things that God has done. That must have been an amazing day, mustn't it? A day worth celebrating. And we're going to sing another song of celebration. Where's John? Our children have been learning some great worship songs on a Sunday morning. And we're going to get a little snippet of one of those songs this morning, aren't we, John?
Yeah, we are.
Good. Do you want a microphone? Are you going to get some people to help you?
I
need to turn that on.
Right, if anyone from Sunday School wants to come up on stage, we're going to have a chance to show the adults how much fun we had last week. I've got one volunteer, that's not good. Maybe some leaders from the groups as well. Come on, any children, if you can't make it on the stage, if you can at least just come to the front. So all children to the front at least.
Come on, we've got a few volunteers.
Come on, and a few leaders as well.
Excellent.
Two. Come on, up you come. 3, 4, 5, 6, brilliant. If you don't want to come on the stage, if you can at least just come up to the front. Come on, up to the front at least.
Brilliant, good.
Right, you need to find yourself a little bit of space. Ready? Are you ready to do the actions? Brilliant. Okay, audience participation is required. Okay, won't forget. We need you all to stand. Just give yourself a bit of movement now before you go. Perhaps a little bit more space than you're usually used to. You're going to need to wave your arms around a little bit. You're going to perhaps need to turn around. Clap your hands. It works if you all do it, because then nobody gets embarrassed, okay? Fabulous, let's give it a go. If you're not doing it, we'll stop and we'll start again. Right, here we go. Nice and loud on the sound, please.
We're not getting any sound.
Right, let's start down to...
your life when you got not a lot. What? Be happy. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna step in the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna step in the crowd. A lot, but you got not a lot. What? Be happy. Do all things through Christ's strength.
to love, when you got no love, what? Be happy.
Wow, give yourselves a round of applause, you are brilliant.
Wow, fantastic. Children, do you want to sit on the floor here? Because we've got something really good coming up now, okay? So you can sit on the floor for a few minutes. Wow, I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted after that. New Crofton dance styles taking place at the front here. We've been talking about Pentecost being the birthday of the church, haven't we? And at the very centre of the Pentecost story is somebody who's called the Holy Spirit. And there's lots of misunderstandings about who the Holy Spirit is, and our puppets are going to help us to discover a little bit more about who the Holy Spirit is. So are we ready to listen to them? Are you ready? You need to be really quiet, okay? Because they get scared if there's a lot of noise. Okay, right, let's be quiet. I'll just see if they're ready, shall I? Are they ready? They're ready.
Oh, wow. So you did get a torch after all then, Ozzy.
Yeah.
It's lovely. You've wanted a torch for a long time now.
Yeah. My dad said he'd get me one ages and ages ago. I kept thinking he'd forgotten. He promised he'd get me one.
Your dad always keeps his promises.
Yeah.
He said he'd get you a new torch.
Yeah.
And now you've got one.
Yeah.
So that's lovely, isn't it?
No.
Oh, why not?
Well, it might look lovely, Lucy, but it isn't. I'm well disappointed with it.
But, Ozzy, now you can be very bold and daring and go out in the dark. That's really exciting.
No, not with this torch anyway.
Why not?
'Cause this torch is rubbish.
No, it isn't. It's fabulous. Why don't you try turning it on?
I can't.
Why not?
Because it doesn't work. It's broken. It's rubbish.
Are you sure it's broken?
Yeah, it won't work at all.
Have you tried the switch?
Lucy, I've tried the switch a million zillion times and it won't work.
Oh, have you read the instructions?
How can I? The instructions are all in about 20 different languages. I don't understand any of them. It's ridiculous. And anyway, you don't need to have instructions on how just to press a button on and off.
Let me see the instructions.
There's no point. It's all gobbledygook.
Here's a bit of English.
English? Ah, what does it say then? Does it say something like push button?
No, it doesn't say that. It says something else.
Oh, what does it say? Let's see. Does it say throw away in the nearest bin because it's rubbish?
No, Ozzy, it doesn't say that either.
Well, what does it say then?
It says, insert batteries.
Oh.
So, you did that, did you, Ozzy? You inserted the batteries.
What batteries?
Probably these batteries on the floor by here.
I didn't know.
The batteries give the torch the power to work. There's no power without the batteries.
I know that.
Let's do that then, shall we, Ozzy? Let's give the torch some power to work.
Yeah, right, okay. Hang on a minute.
We unscrew the bottom bit like this, see?
Yeah, I know. Not stupid. Titi might think I'm stupid.
And then we put the batteries in like this.
Yes, yes, I know. I'm not stupid.
And then we switch the torch on like this, see?
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know how to push a button. Oh, dearie me.
There. The torch now has the power to work. It's just like when God fills us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power too. Power to live a life that pleases Him.
Yeah.
And just like you had to wait for your dad to keep his promise about giving you a torch, so the apostles had to wait a while before God gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, when He filled them with His power to work for God, to speak boldly to others about how Jesus was sent to save them.
But didn't all the people there at Pentecost speak lots of different languages, like the ones in those destructions?
Yes, they did.
How did they understand what the apostles were saying then?
Well, the Holy Spirit gave them the power to hear and understand what the apostles were saying in their own language. God's message can be understood by everyone, whoever they are, or wherever they're from.
Amazing!
God's power is amazing, Ozzy.
Yeah, so is my torch.
Yes, you can be very bold and daring and go out in the dark now.
Not really.
Why not?
I don't like the dark. It's scary. There's no way I'm going out in the dark.
Well, why did you want a torch then?
I don't know, really.
Oh, Ozzy!
Bye!
Brilliant. Well, do you want to go back to your seats for a minute, okay? Because we're going to think a little bit more about the Holy Spirit this morning. And if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 14 this morning, okay? So we can find it and maybe share it with your children. We're going to look at some verses which Jesus spoke to the disciples, which help us to understand a bit more about the Holy Spirit. Now, children, you've got sheets as well, which are going to be very helpful for you. Thank you. So, let's go to John chapter 14. Page 1082, all right? Have you got a Bible that you can see? We're talking about the birthday of the church, and Jesus talks about the person of the Holy Spirit in this passage. A bit like the torch we were thinking about needing batteries. Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, He gives us power. Here's what Jesus says: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And we're going to read this passage in John chapter 14. And when we look at it, I want you to think, what is Jesus teaching us about the Holy Spirit? See what you can spot in this passage. I'm going to read it out loud from the screen so everybody can see it. And if you've got a Bible, you can follow some of these verses. And here's what Jesus said. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives in you and will be with you. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, Jesus says four things about the Holy Spirit in that passage. I wonder, can we work out what they are? Here's a few clues to get us thinking. Here's a picture. And the first answer is in verse 16. The Holy Spirit is a... Verse 16. A little bit difficult, this, because the word in the Bible is counselor. And I'm thinking of another word that begins not with counselor, but with the letter H. What do you think that is? The Holy Spirit is a... A helper, somebody said. That's absolutely right. A helper. And we all need a helper, don't we? Especially when life gets tough and life gets difficult. It's lovely to have a helper
who comes alongside and who helps us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit helps us how to pray. He helps us how to follow Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's a helper. That's the first thing which Jesus says to the disciples. Let's see if we can work out the second thing that Jesus says. Verse 17. See if we can work out what this is. The Holy Spirit, this could be a bit difficult, this one, because this begins with the letter G. And it's not in the actual Bible verse. The Holy Spirit is a... comes and lives with us, and he will be in you. Comes and lives with us. What do we call someone who comes and stays with us? A guest. Okay, that's right. The Holy Spirit is a guest, but he's a different kind of guest. I don't know about you, but I love having people to come and stay. But I kind of like it sometimes when they go as well. Because most of us love having guests to come and stay, but we don't really expect our guests to stay forever, do we? The Holy Spirit comes like a guest when we invite him into our lives, and he comes and he lives with us, and he will live with us forever. And if he's the kind of helper that the Bible talks about, then that's the kind of guest I would want to have with me forever. Here's the third thing that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. This is a lot easier. It's in verse 26. Let's see if we can work it out. It begins with the letter T. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Well done. Fantastic. He will teach you. That's what Jesus says to his disciples. And he will remind you of the things that I've taught you. I don't know about you, but I had all kinds of different teachers in school. Now, some of you are teachers here this morning. I need to be very careful what I say here, don't I? But do you remember, I can just about remember being in school, but there were some teachers who made subjects terribly boring and terribly disinteresting. And then there were some teachers who were absolutely brilliant because they made the subject come alive. Did you ever have a teacher like that? Or maybe you have a teacher like that. And so you get into their class, and their classes are really interesting. And you remember that kind of teacher. That's the kind of teacher the Holy Spirit is. He makes the subject come alive. He makes Jesus come alive in our lives. So we've seen this Holy Spirit is a helper, a guest, a teacher. There's a fourth thing in these verses. Let's see if we can spot it. In verse 27, it begins with the letter P. The Holy Spirit is a... a lot of brain power going on here this morning. Peacemaker. Gosh, you guys are on the ball this morning, aren't you? He's a peacemaker. Here's a photograph of some people who've fallen out with each other. Look at those grumpy faces. Do you have an argument like that? One of the Holy Spirit's roles is to bring peace between people when they have arguments. And peace when they feel anxious. And peace when they feel afraid. That's a great role, isn't it, for the Holy Spirit to play. Let's see, are we learning together this morning? The Holy Spirit is a person, okay? What have we learned this morning? First picture up at the top. What is it? The Holy Spirit is a... first one on the left on the top. A helper, that's right. Next one down here, a guest. The next one? Teacher, that's right. Fourth one? A peacemaker. Okay, we're getting there, aren't we? We are learning together this morning. But you know, the disciples didn't understand how powerful the Holy Spirit was until the day of Pentecost came. So let's go back, shall we, to the day of Pentecost. Let's listen again to the story. We're going to look at another video clip now as we listen to the story of Pentecost and just how powerful it really was.
On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem, and when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there, amazed and perplexed, What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Wow. It's quite a story, isn't it, when you hear it being told again from the Bible. At the very center of the story of Pentecost is this story of power, which we're thinking about this morning. This is what Jesus said. He says to the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Children, this is on your sheets, this next bit that we're going to look at together this morning. Well, what kind of power are we talking about? Well, here's what happened on the day of Pentecost. He gives us the power to believe in Jesus. Before Pentecost, the disciples were all stuck in a locked room. They were afraid to go out. And then on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, they came out and they didn't stop talking about Jesus. He gives us the power to believe. He also gives us the power to follow Jesus. Day of Pentecost, Peter stands up and begins this wonderful sermon about what this is all about and the fact that Jesus died and he rose again and we can meet him and we can follow him today. And Peter gets up and he starts to explain it because the power of the Spirit helps him to do it. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to talk about Jesus. One of the things you find about the early church is this: they couldn't stop talking about Jesus. That's one of the things that happens when the Spirit comes on us in power. He helps us to follow Jesus. He helps us to believe, and he helps us to talk about Jesus. And we're going to sing about that power now. I think it's time we sung another song. But this is a prayer. It's crying to God, saying, God, show your power today. The power to believe. The power to talk about Jesus. The power to be able to tell others about our faith in Christ. Let's stand, shall we, as we sing together. He is the Lord and he reigns on high. Let's stand now, shall we?
You are the Lord, for I remember.
Let's sit for a moment, shall we, as we come towards the end of our service this morning. Show your power, send your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to help us to believe in Jesus, to follow Jesus, to become more like Jesus, to tell other people about Jesus. So let me ask you a question as we start to sort of conclude this morning. Where would you put yourself in this story this morning? Lots of the stories in the New Testament are designed to draw us in and then to ask the question, where are you in this story this morning? And Luke helps us. Here's what Luke says to us. He said there were all sorts of different responses to Pentecost. This is in verse 12 in Acts 2. He says there were some people who were astounded and they were very curious. And their question was, what does this mean? Let's say that question out loud, shall we? What does this mean? That was their question. There were other people who were very skeptical. They were curious, but skeptical, and they made fun of what was happening. And what did they say? Let's say it together. They have had too much wine. Gosh, they said, we don't really think this is true at all. But there was another group of people, and they were bewildered, but they were ready. And here was their question. Let's say it out loud together. What shall we do? So, where are you in this story this morning? Here's the three groups of people that Luke is talking about. Astounded but curious, curious but skeptical, bewildered but ready. Do you sometimes long for more of God in your life? More of the power that we've been singing about this morning? More experiences of the helper and the teacher and the guest and the peacemaking abilities of the Holy Spirit? I certainly do. Way back in the Old Testament, we find what is referred to as the promise that God made to his people. And here it is in Joel chapter 2. Here's what he says. This is God speaking. He says, a time is coming when I will pour out my spirit on everybody, young and old, male and female, regardless of background or culture or whatever that you do. He says, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And then you know what happened on the day of Pentecost? Peter says, the promise is for you and all your children and for all who are far off. The promise of God's Spirit is for all of us who are sitting in this room this morning. It is for our children. It is for those who have yet to believe in Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, the promise that God gave was fulfilled when the Spirit came. Maybe you think to yourself this morning, well, how do I receive the Spirit of God? Well, if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, here's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He said, if you want to live out this promise, he says, this is what you need to do. You need to repent. And you need to be baptized. And he says, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That means repenting is just another word of saying we need to turn around. Instead of living to please ourselves, we turn around and we live to please God. God, through the death of Jesus on the cross, forgives us. We receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit, the helper, the teacher, the peacemaker, the guest who lives with us forever, the one who gives us the power to believe and to follow and to tell other people about Jesus. And for those of us who are already followers of Jesus, this is what the Bible says to us, a command. It says you are to be filled with the Spirit. You're to keep asking for the Spirit of God to fill you day after day after day after day so that you will have that power that we've been speaking about this morning. And how does that happen? Well, Jesus says very simply in a passage in Luke 13, he's saying, look, if you're a human parent, you're human and you're fallen and you make mistakes, but generally speaking, you know how to give good gifts to your children. Well, if that's how you give good gifts, he says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And we're going to ask for God to do that this morning as we come towards the end of our service. Children, if you've got a chance to write a prayer this morning in those sheets that we've been giving out, then as we sing, you could write a prayer that we could use at the end of our service together. And our band's going to lead us in this song, which is a prayer asking God to fill us with his Spirit. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. We're going to remain seated while we sing this. This is our prayer. This is our response as we celebrate the coming of the Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. So we'll stay seated. We'll sing this quietly as our prayer. Let's do that now. Thank you. As we come to the end of our service this morning, we're going to sing one more song, a song which reminds us of the power of God. And we're going to bring our gifts to God, we're going to bring our offering. If you're a visitor, please don't feel embarrassed in any way. It's one of the ways in which we worship God, by giving back to Him something that He has given to us. And children, if you've written a prayer that you'd like us to use at the end of this song, just bring that prayer to the front as we take our collection, and I'll take the prayer from you, and maybe we'll use one or two of those as we conclude. So let's stand, shall we, as we sing our final song together. Let's stand now, shall we?
Mercy fall on me.
Well, some lovely songs, some lovely prayers from some of our children to conclude our service together this morning. We have a great God who's poured out his Spirit on all people. We need to ask that God will pour out his Spirit on us on this Pentecost Sunday. Here are some prayers from our children as we conclude this morning. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. We are so grateful. Thank you for showing us the way and making peace and being our guest. Thank you for being our teacher. Fill us with your Spirit. Here's another prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name and for giving us power. And one final prayer. Dear God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. We love you so much. A big thank you for our food and our drink. Thank you for everything that you give to us in Jesus' name. So let's pray as we conclude. Father, we thank you for a sense of your presence by your Spirit in this room as we've met together this morning. We celebrate together on this great occasion. May we go out from this place this morning filled by your Spirit, ready to believe in Jesus, to follow Jesus, to become more like Jesus, and to tell others about him. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.